Their desire was that their block be as clean as any block, any place in the city. And their question often would be, why can't this neighborhood look like Bard Parkway? And I think that's the kind of attitude and goal that people who live in the community have to have, because it's actually the people who live there that make the difference.
Hi, this is Radioactive Magazine on KKFI's 90.1 FM, Kansas City's community radio station. You can find us online at kkfi.org. I'm Maiko, and today this is episode 4 in Reviving KC. And today we want to welcome into our studio Ms. Margaret May from Ivanhoe Neighborhood Council.
Yes.
Ms. May, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your relationship to Kansas City?
Well, I have gotten to be an old person, I realized this year. I'm not going to tell you my age. But I grew up in this city, and I lived here back in the day of segregated schools when 27th Street was a dividing line for African Americans. And so I've been here virtually all of my life. I've lived a few other places a few times as an adult, but most of my life has been here. I work in the Ivanhoe neighborhood, and I take great pride in working with the people that live in the Ivanhoe neighborhood, who had the courage back in the late 1990s to stand up and fight six drug houses on the 3800 block of Highland. And they succeeded in getting those drug houses closed, and then after that, getting some support from the Kauffman Foundation. And so for the past 15 years now, we've been on the road to improve the neighborhood.
That's a very full description. It lets me know how much time has been spent, and the fact that this really is a story about so many different people and about so many situations that are bringing people together to make our neighborhoods better places for everyone. Now, when we're dealing with these vacant homes, what are some of the things that you've seen that can be done to help eliminate the presence of these homes in neighborhoods?
Well, one of the most important things is for the people who live in the neighborhood now to realize the value of living in this community and doing their part to make sure that the neighborhood is as they would like it to be. I think most people want to live in a safe place. They want it to be clean. They'd like for it to look nice. And so that sort of embraces the mission that the Ivanhoe Neighborhood Council has of building a clean, beautiful, safe, and thriving neighborhood. And that's kind of the course that we've been on. So each person who lives in the community, there's something that every person can do and should be doing to make the neighborhood better.
I know some of the things that you guys did early on were very simple, especially when it came to cleaning the neighborhood. Can you describe how simple it was and yet how impactful it was at the same time?
Well, the neighborhood organized cleanups on a pretty regular basis and encouraged people in the neighborhood to participate. And then we had some organizations that also came from outside of the neighborhood to assist with those. And, you know, none of this work occurs overnight. You know, in many ways, you could kind of call it a baby step process. And so sometimes that's discouraging for people or two people, because we kind of like to leap into things, you know, and take another big leap and another. Well, improving communities usually isn't something that happens in a leap. It happens baby step wise. And getting the neighborhood clean was very, very important to the people in the neighborhood, to help the neighborhood look better, but also to help people that live there to have pride in the neighborhood.
Are there any stories you can tell about some of those very small steps that people can take that were done to get the cleanup started in your neighborhood?
Well, we actually have some people in the neighborhood that back then and still today, they get out every single day and pick up trash. One lady, Jean Watley, quite often you might see her around 38th or 9th and Paseo. And Miss Watley actually walks west of Paseo and east of Paseo for several blocks in that area, going north and south, east and west, picking up trash. This is what she does every single day. Mm. We have Mrs. Hayden and Mrs. Dockery, who used to live on the 3900 block of Euclid. Same kind of thing. And their desire was that their block be as clean as any block, any place in the city. And their question often would be, why can't this neighborhood look like Ward Parkway? And I think that's the kind of attitude and goal that people who live in the community have to have, because it's actually the people who live there that make the difference.
That's true. And it's really a simple observation. Why can't these neighborhoods look like Ward Parkway? Because, I mean, it's about maintaining what you have.
Yes.
And that is each person's individual contribution.
Well, and I think that sometimes people are very influenced by what they hear. You know, we're talking on the radio today, and quite often the media doesn't always present the best image of the community. And I think, as I won't say that the media is totally responsible, but in many ways, people begin to think of things as they hear on the radio or see on television. So when people are talking things up and talking about how much they enjoy living in the community, how they value their neighbors and those kinds of things, then that kind of, as time passes, begins to be the way people look at it, as opposed to when all you can hear is negatives.
Hi, this is Michael, and you're listening to Revivin' KC. We're renovating one home, one neighborhood vibe at a time, and you're listening to Radioactive Magazine on KKFI 90.1 FM, Kansas City's community radio station.
And as a result of the number growing, the Kauffman Foundation heard about the good things happening in Ivanhoe, and they called Alan Young in, and they said, we want to give you some money to help you do what you're doing. And Alan says, I can't take your money. And they were shocked, and I'm told that never before, never since, has anyone said that to the Kauffman Foundation. And Alan says, I can't take your money because we don't have a plan, and without a plan, we can't be accountable.
And now back to our interview with Margaret May, the Executive Director of the Ivanhoe Neighborhood Council. Following up with that, I'd like to know, how did the Ivanhoe Center come into being, and what were the types of challenges that you faced early on as its Executive Director?
Well, let's go back again in the late 1990s when the Youngs had the courage to fight the drug houses. I wasn't a part of that group at that time. I don't live in the neighborhood. In 1999, the Kauffman Foundation called Alan Young, because after they got rid of the drug houses, a few of the people started meeting together, and then that number grew a little more and a little more. And as a result of the number growing, the Kauffman Foundation heard about the good things happening in Ivanhoe, and they called Alan Young in, and they said, we want to give you some money to help you do what you're doing. And Alan says, I can't take your money. And they were shocked, and I'm told that never before, never since, has anyone said that to the Kauffman Foundation. And Alan says, I can't take your money because we don't have a plan, and without a plan, we can't be accountable. So then the Kauffman Foundation had the KU Work Group to work with the neighborhood, and in 2000, I'm told that about 100 people over a six-month period actually worked to create the Ivanhoe Strategic Plan. And that plan covered the things that it takes to improve a neighborhood: beautification, crime and safety, housing-related things, and youth and education types of things. We have committees that meet every month. And there was a fifth part of the plan, which required hiring some staff and having our own building. After the Kauffman Foundation gave the neighborhood a three-year operating support grant in August of 2001, they had a competitive process, and I was hired in October of 2001. So we've been on this journey for a long time. And the people in the neighborhood wanted to hire staff because they found that just having volunteers, they couldn't move things along as quickly as they would like.
Since you started in 2001. Where are you all located again?
We were located initially in one of the office spaces that the Front Porch Alliance had at the Harold Thomas Center, 3210 Michigan. About 6 months after I entered the job, we developed a plan, and the Harold Thomas Center allowed us to renovate some space on the same floor that the Front Porch Alliance was on. So we had our office at one end of the floor, and the Front Porch Alliance was at the other end. And then in 2003, the Kauffman Foundation suggested to Christmas in October that they work in Ivanhoe. And that's another kind of long story, but they did agree to come and help in Ivanhoe by doing some home repair in the houses in October of 2003. They were looking for something special to do, and they ended up deciding that they would help us to renovate the building that's located at 3700 Woodland. And that's where our office is now. And we moved in that building in February of 2006. That would not have been possible without a lot of wonderful things happening. One, first of all, Christmas in October agreeing to help us. Secondly, the city being an active partner with us and having an architect that drew up the plan for renovating the building. And then ultimately the city agreeing to sell us the building for $10. Mm-hmm. And then James B. Nutter, who is definitely a friend of Ivanhoe and a part of Ivanhoe, provided the funding for us to be able to renovate our building.
So your building and your organization actually represents what I'm interested in covering, which is renovating homes and buildings in the urban core. And you did it by taking on a distressed building, $10,
yes.
You know, and that part is really what we're talking about. So you really do represent the spirit of what Reviving KC is all about.
Well, the building that we have was actually on the city's dangerous buildings list to be torn down. Mm-hmm. So there were trees growing out of it. Vagrants would get into it. There was trash every place. So you're talking about distressed. It was truly distressed. But it shows what can happen when you have a sound structure that can be rehabbed, and when you have the ability to actually do the rehab. And we built in energy efficiency so that, you know, our utility costs would be as low as possible. And we've done our best to maintain the look of the building as much as we could. Like on our second floor, the ceilings, you know, are, you can see up to the roof. And anyway, it's a reminder of a building that was built in 1904 as a fire station. And then in later years, after the fire station closed in the early 1970s, it was the city's boxing center. And so now it's the home for Ivanhoe. And some people have made a comment that we kind of embrace that. We often are kind of like firefighters in a way. And also we have to fight, put on our gloves, and fight to get the things that the neighborhood needs.
Yeah, people, you have to fight for peace even.
There you go.
You
absolutely.
Maintain.
Yes.
That's really a great story of how everything has come about. Now, I'd like to hear a little bit more about what are some of the activities that you guys have going on right now in the building, reaching out to students and youth, for example, and what are some of the responses that you're seeing from the different activities that you have?
Well, we our Youth, Family, Life, and Education Committee, again, one of the committees formed back in 2000, has continued to meet through the years once every month. And that committee and the programs that we have for our youth, we call Positive Alternatives for Youth, because we're absolutely certain that many of the things that some of our youth do today, they would be doing differently, better, if there were we had sufficient structured positive activities for our children to be involved in. So we have Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, and we do periodic just for fun activities. We also have a home repair program, and that comes under our Housing, Economic Development, and Jobs Committee. We have a beautification committee and a crime and safety committee. And, of course, you can imagine what each of those do. I mean, keeping the neighborhood clean, planting trees, people having flowers, keeping their yards looking good comes under the beautification committee. And then working closely with the police. We have community police officers that actually have an office in our building. When I left to come here today, Officer Best was just coming as I was leaving. And so the good working relationship that we have with the police, and the fact that our police are doing everything that they can to be friendly with the people in the neighborhood so there's trust, and to also interact as often as possible with our children, even so that our children aren't growing up thinking that the police are the enemy, but yet, you know, people to be working with and an important part of who we are. So Ivanhoe, we have actually gone from having the highest crime rate in the whole city in 2000 to not being in the top five for highest crime today.
And where does your neighborhood span?
31st Street to Emmanuel Cleaver, Prospect to Paseo.
Margaret May, the executive director of Ivanhoe Neighborhood Council, has put in a lot of time in her neighborhood and as a result has a lot to say about her neighborhood.
About 12 years ago, the average sales price was $24,000 for a house in the neighborhood. Several years ago, the Kansas City Star did an article, and at that time, they said that the price had gone up to around 50-some thousand. So whatever the tax level is right now, it will remain at that level for a 10-year time period, rather than going up as you improve the house. So there are many advantages to people coming and being a part of the progress that's underway in the neighborhood. And I don't think that any of us enjoy anything more than when we can be part of bringing about change.
Hi, this is Michael, and you're listening to Radioactive Magazine here at KKFI on 90.1 FM. Now back to our show. And where does your neighborhood span?
31st Street to Emmanuel Cleaver, Prospect to Paseo. And so if you've ever ridden on Bruce R. Watkins Drive, going from the north to the south to the north of the city, you've been in Ivanhoe at some point.
Mm-hmm. That's really a great story that you're telling as far as the impact that your center has had on the community, even how crime has gone down in the community. I think that's the reason why I even wanted to start this program, and that was because in October, the mayor had started a crime commission because of all the different situations that were happening back then. And I thought, well, maybe if we can get people's hands busy, they might have something to do besides spending time and getting on each other's nerves and doing things that aren't productive.
Right.
And I noticed that when I did visit your center, it is really a very warm and inviting place. I also noticed that you have a bank area. And I was wondering, can you tell me a little bit more about what happens there?
Well, UMB approached us several years ago. They were wanting to do something special in the neighborhood. They advised us that less than 30% of the people that live in the neighborhood actually have a banking affiliation, which is really alarming. And that helps you to see why there are so many customers of the payday loans and what have you. UMB approached us and we worked with them, and we were hoping that they would actually do something on one of the vacant lots in the neighborhood, even if it was just going to be a drive-up thing that people could come and do transactions. But as it turned out, they weren't able to get approval for that. And they came back and asked if we would be willing for them to have a bank in our building. We met with our board, our membership, and we said yes under one condition, that it be a cashless bank, because we felt it would be too much of a risk for us to actually have money there. They agreed to that, and then we asked that we have a chance to be involved with them hiring their staff and what have you, because if possible, we wanted the staff hired from the neighborhood. And as it turned out, the very best person that applied for the job was a person that lived in the neighborhood. So Sharon Bass has been the UMB banker there from the start. The bank is open Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. On Wednesdays and Thursdays from 1 to 5, and on Fridays from 10 to 4. And we she has a notary. She can notarize papers. It can help people. Quite often people get letters or information in the mail that's financial in nature and they don't understand it. So she's able to help them with that. Once a month, we have a financial education class. And we're constantly trying to encourage people to come and open an account with a check, or pay. They can come and pay their bills with a check. Again, no cash. Mm-hmm. So it's been quite a benefit for our neighborhood.
And that's a bit of a novel approach, having a cashless bank, but still encouraging people to have banking activity.
Yes.
And I think it starts in a relationship that they can feel a little bit more comfortable about moving and doing banking around the city. I know my father had taught me early on, this is your money. You need to have a relationship with your banker. It's good to start those relationships. They can make a world of difference.
I was just amazed several years ago with our lawn maintenance program. The young men got their checks and they asked if they could have a little longer lunch that day so they could go cash their check. And I don't know what caused me to ask, but I said, where are you going to cash your check? And each one of them was going to a payday loan place. And I said, why are you going there rather than to a bank? These guys didn't know that it was possible for them to have a bank account.
Mm.
So it's that kind of lack of information that people have quite often in our communities.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to explain to them if they had at a minimum, a savings account where they could go and put their check in, they wouldn't have to pay to cash the check. And they were just really surprised.
That's kind of amazing to a certain extent.
But I'm really glad
that you're making headway.
Yes.
Because that's what it takes.
Yeah.
You know, so Ms. May, if you were someone wanting to get one of these abandoned houses or an abandoned lot, what would you, or if you knew someone, what would you suggest to them that they do as far as finding that right neighborhood and going forward after that?
Well, of course, you know what I'm going to say. They need to come to Ivanhoe. We have about a 40% vacancy rate, either vacant house or vacant lot. And the progress that the people in the neighborhood in determining that they were going to take back the neighborhood shows that how important it is for people to be involved. And we do have some younger people that are starting to move into the neighborhood, people with children. And we really invite people to come because if you could get one of those houses and prove that you have the wherewithal to be able to do the rehab of the house, then your total cost for acquiring and rehabbing the house would be minimal compared to if you were going to maybe a more affluent place and buying a house at $100,000 or whatever amount. And with the progress that's being made in the neighborhood and the fact that about 12 years ago, the average sales price was $24,000 for a house in the neighborhood. Several years ago, the Kansas City Star did an article, and at that time, they said that the price had gone up to around 50-some thousand. And we have a man named David Larrabee that's doing some work with us on the 3500 block of Brooklyn. And we now are starting to get comparables that are in the $60,000 to $70,000 range. So it's really a perfect time for people to come into the neighborhood, get one of those houses, rehab them and live in them, because it won't be long before the housing prices are really going to be going up in the neighborhood. Our goal is to keep the good people that live in the neighborhood. We want them to stay. We want to do things in a manner to help them do that. We want to encourage people who buy property to work with us so we can introduce them to the Economic Development Corporation. There are opportunities for people. Before you begin work on the house, if you apply with them, you can get a tax abatement. So whatever the tax level is right now, it will remain at that level for a 10-year time period rather than going up, up, up as you improve the house. So there are many advantages to people coming and being a part of the progress that's underway in the neighborhood. And I don't think that any of us enjoy anything more than when we can be part of bringing about change.
Those sound like great incentives to bring people in. And if they wanted to find out more information, because actually I was listening to you and I said, oh, that's a mouthful, because there's like so many different things that you were pointing out. What would a person need to do if they wanted to find out more information? Where could they go?
If I can be available and helpful to people, I'm always willing to answer questions if I know. I don't know everything. The Economic Development Corporation, which is located downtown, they have staff members there. Bob Long is a person that, and I'm sure Bob doesn't have time to take everybody's question, but I'm sure he'd be available to answer or have one of his staff people to help if needed. There's also the city has information, folks in the housing department. That's kind of off the top of my head right now. I'm sure there's some other resources as well.
Right. And, you know, I'm working with Habitat for Humanity. They have some homes. Is that your neighborhood?
Actually, Habitat is located in the Ivanhoe neighborhood there,
right,
on Linwood and Paseo.
Yes.
And they are doing rehab of homes, and they're doing a good job with the rehab of the homes that they're doing as well.
There's four homes on
Highland.
Yes. And I've worked in each of those homes. And it's really a great thing to see how much work many hands can do.
Yes.
You know, and how these homes are so solid. They have their issues. It's really great to see the process that it takes to bring these homes together.
Yes. We actually have visitors quite often from other cities that come to Ivanhoe. Someone's referred them to us just to talk about what they're doing and to find out what we're doing. And it is amazing how, especially people from the East Coast, they just marvel over the housing stock that we have. And quite often, you know, we look at what we have and we say, you know, we're not too impressed, but we really do. Exactly what you said, have good, strong housing stock and houses that can be rehabbed and make a wonderful home.
You're the second person on this show that said that about how we may not value the housing stock. She was saying our last guest, Nicole Davis, was talking about how if in Maryland people renovate homes quite a bit, and she said if they were here and they saw the houses that we had here, they would buy them up.
Yes.
Immediately.
Yes.
Sometimes slow change can be good because it lets you know what's happening, but at the same time I think it's good for us in our neighborhoods to take advantage of the good opportunities that we have available.
Yes.
To us.
Yes.
Well, Ms. May, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and coming into the studio to talk with us here on Reviving KC. Is there anything you'd like to say before you leave?
I don't know how much time I had, but I did mention our gardening program. We do have a Grown in Ivanhoe program where we teach people how to actually grow their food, and if they want to actually sell it at our farmers market, which we have in the summer. This summer we'll be starting on the second Friday, and then every Friday evening from 5 to 7 in the parking lot at our building. We'll be having vendors there selling the produce that they've grown, pesticide free, as well as some folks with selling jewelry and t-shirts and live music and just a fun time.
It sounds like fun.
We're just kind of doing a little bit of everything to our best ability to improve the neighborhood in every way. And thank you so much for this opportunity.
Oh, thank you. You've been a wonderful guest.
Thank you.
This is Radioactive Magazine. Thanks for listening on KKFI 90.1 FM.